Vet Voice. Separated, we survive. In his article on the pandemic, October, Alan W. Dowd seems to side with public health patriots, or PHPs, for they love their countrymen so much that they're willing to limit freedom, while individual liberty patriots, or ILPs, bristle at limits. Some ILPs read science showing the mask useless and love our countrymen enough to lead against submission to inappropriate government orders. Ross Riggs, Louisville, Ohio. Before looking elsewhere, we must first look at ourselves as in a mirror. I read this article 3 times. Much was stated about patriotism, blame, seeking a common enemy, and the concept of freedom. But duty, honor, and country, in my opinion, define patriotism, and better yet, define being an American. My father and uncles served in World War I and World War II. My cousins were Korean War and Vietnam War veterans. Do you think they or other veterans felt they needed to choose between individual freedom or our country? Some volunteered. Some were called to serve. Either way, they served this country before enjoying the freedoms they fought for. This time, we are in a different type of war, one that, so far, has cost over 200,000 lives. I do not agree that those who oppose the COVID-19 lockdowns do so in defense of freedom, which is supposedly patriotic. Alan W. Dowd blames the Chinese, saying that Beijing intentionally or incompetently allowed a local public health problem to mushroom into a global pandemic. Referring back to the mirror analogy, the current administration and the pandemic could be inserted into the above statement. Our military accepts accountability and responsibility. Why can't our civilian leaders? There is no such thing as public health patriots or individual freedom patriots. There is only one kind of patriot, that selfless individual who is willing to sacrifice for others. That's being an American, and yes, in many cases, that person is a hero. If we are seeking unity, we must sometimes accept sacrifice that is more often than not temporary in order to forge a country with long-lasting roots to fight future wars of all types. Robert L. Kazpierczyki, Cazenovia, New York. Science is easy to accept when it gives us better machines, homes, clothes, and technology, but when it tells us something that bangs against our liberty box, it suddenly becomes an opinion. We need to recognize how poorly we were prepared and get our Sierra together. Terry Brown, Vancouver, Washington. A right like no other. Please pass on to National Commander Bill Oxford my kudos on his commander's message, October. Outstanding in every respect and word. I will vote as I always do. God bless America. Joe Gray, Colorado Springs, Colorado. U.S. membership in NATO. The time for us to withdraw from NATO is long overdue. Big issues, October. Even during the Cold War, many of these allies did not support us. Grenada, the Libya raid. NATO was created to protect Western Europe from the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union is gone. No need for NATO. Joe Dumhan, West Babylon, New York. I shared this article with my nephew, who worked shoulder to shoulder with NATO personnel from a variety of countries. They impressed him as people of honor, aware of the grave responsibility in opposing Soviet hegemony, and gracious partners in the cooperation that forms our alliance. Another point he made is that NATO countries provide us with something strategically paramount: forward bases. LeJames E. Seuss, Jackson, California. Ted Galen Carpenter argues in support of retiring NATO with plausible data. However, he does not suggest or recommend a solution and or replacement. Personally, I don't want enemy submarines in the Hudson River or the Chesapeake Bay. It is obvious that NATO members need the United States, the world's most powerful nation, and desire NATO to remain intact and strengthened by its total membership. And I believe the majority of NATO countries would help the United States when needed. Richard P. Pisarczyk, Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. Present tense, future bright. Steve Brown makes some valid points, but takes an excessively rosy look at the situation. September. He says the U.S. economy can take a punch and continue business, but this is based on two faulty assumptions. The first is that consumerism, i.e. runaway consumption, is a good thing. But if one large nation, the United States, stops acting like a group of drunken spendthrifts, the system collapses. The second is that running up trillions of dollars in debt is acceptable. Brown praises digital medical appointments, but I wonder whether he has ever experienced one. Such appointments consist of question and answer sessions. There is no examination at all. You never see so much as a stethoscope, never mind a check of those skin lesions that were such a concern for you and your doctor at your last appointment. Finally, Brown says that anywhere workers will redefine the economy. But we know how that has worked out. We call for technical support and get someone half a world away who is paid pennies an hour to read from a script and, usually, give bad advice. We were headed for hard times before the virus escaped from China, spread around the world, and made things even worse. We have coped because we've had to, but let's not pretend the new situation will be better. James M. Castro, Helena, Montana. The namesake of America's Soviet ship. Regarding the piece on USNS Lance Corporal Roy M. Wheat, Rapid Fire, October, Wheat was a native of Moselle, Mississippi. He arrived in Vietnam in March 1967 and was assigned duty as a rifleman with Company K, 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines, 1st Marine Division. His unit participated in numerous combat operations, including DeSoto, Webster, Arizona, Butler, and Jem. Wheat was 20 years old when he died, and he is buried in East Dubuque Cemetery in Mississippi. The enlisted dining facility at Naval Air Station Meridian was named after Wheat in 1985, and Interstate 59 in Mississippi is named the Roy Wheat Memorial Highway. Richard Eckert, Sr., Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Editor's note, the American Legion Post in Texas, named for Dory Miller, is Post 817 in Beaumont. September. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana 46206. Magazine at legion.org.